honor, we bring you adoration for your commitment. We thank you that it is clear to us that you indeed intend to bring us to Rehoboth. It is clear to us that you are committed to your word. You are committed to your covenant with your Son, Jesus Christ. It is clear to us that you are spoken and you will not take your word back. It is clear that we shall have revival. But we also thank you that the root to it, you have also deliberately, by your mercy, decided to show us again today. That for every good thing you want to do on the face of the earth, it must always be in answer to the prayer of men on the earth. If we are not available to host what you want to do in our generation, then you will have to wait for another man. Lord, we ask you, don't wait again. Please find us as usable vessels. Find us, oh God, as men and women who can be heard from on high, even as we pray to you. Lord, we thank you for the mobilization you have raised for us to pray today. We recognize that is not just for this meeting alone. That is a mobilization that we must press on with. We must devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Thank you for this time. Thank you also, Lord, for allowing us to go on this morning to take further instructions and to talk further into the issues that you are raising with us. That if this Rehoboth will last, if this revival will not perish, if it will not become shallow as it goes away from us, then we must dig our roots. Then we must be built up in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, this morning we are praying that as we go ahead with these issues, let your word come to us. Let your spirit breathe upon us afresh. And let it mix with faith in our hearts. Let it mobilize each one of us and everyone that hears this message. Set them on fire. Set them ablaze. Set them hungry for you. Set them, oh God, thirsty for you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God that he has been here with us. And I thank God for the counsel of the Holy Spirit that has come. I know the Lord has actually come again. If it were left for me, I would have said, let's leave the issue papers and go ahead praying. But the Lord brought me a good counsel to say, no, we must go on. If we don't prepare to make sure that this river grows in depth and that people that can carry it, they are also growing deeper with God, it means we are planning to perish it. So two concurrent things must be going on, and that's why we are to go on. He said we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So these two have to go together. We must pray, and we must grow in the word of God. And so this morning, I'd like to go ahead again to press on with where we stopped yesterday as we were looking at the issue paper. Root downward, fruit upward. Being rooted and built up in Christ Jesus for an abiding, abounding, and abundant fruitfulness. Rooted and built up in Christ for abiding, abounding, and abundant fruitfulness. The way to make this Rehoboth and a lasting and an enduring experience is for us to give attention to our roots, for us to give our serious attention, priority, unto our being built up in Christ Jesus. We know that we have only one message for this revival: Christ and Him crucified, Christ and Him glorified. We want to note that there will be no other way for this river to flow into the nation, as the Lord began to show us again this morning during that opera, except the force that is driving it is Christ Himself. And all of us that will be part of that move of God, we must be built up in Christ. We must be deliberately established in Christ Jesus. I saw that the rage of Satan, as we read in Psalm 2, said, why do the heathen rage? Why do the heathen rage? Why are they gathering themselves together and taking counsel against the Lord and against His King? Why? It's because even though it is this water that will bring healing to nations, yet, the rulers of the nations have become a stooge in the hand of the enemy, and they are ganging themselves against Him. And so for us to have a move that we uproot and confront that gang up of the kingdom of darkness against our Lord, those of us that must do that for God, we cannot be reeds. We cannot be those that are shaking with wind. We cannot raise believers that are not deeply rooted and strongly built. That's why this instruction is very critical. That's why we have to go into it, and I pray that each one of you, you will not only pay attention now, you will pray and say, okay, so this is where we are going. This is the point that God is looking for. Straws cannot do this job. Those that can easily be swept away with philosophies, with ideas, cannot be able to carry this. Those that can be easily bought, you know, with mammon, those that can easily be carried away with their appetites, they will only become a waste of this Rehoboth. That's why, brothers and sisters, all the years we have spent in raising disciples is for this purpose. And yet it is clear to us that even from now on, we must still dig our wells. We must dig our deep roots. We must raise disciples. We must raise and train more hands. But these hands must be rods. So I will send out of Zion the rod of your strength, not the reeds. Not reeds of disgrace. So, brothers and sisters, it is as urgent that we must be raising men that are built up in Christ Jesus. So, follow me this morning again. We are looking at built up in Christ. Built up in Christ Jesus for abiding, for abounding, and abundant fruitfulness. Our theme text, which we are walking through, which I still trust God we can walk through this morning, is Colossians chapter 2. Colossians and chapter 2. We're reading verse 6 and verse 7. I'll read it from King James first, and then I will ask them to help us flash the amplified version of it so that we can take issues of our training there. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Look, I need to read it up to verse 8, please. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, let's quickly look at it from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version, we are going to just read for now verse 7. We take verse 7 at this point alone. Later on, we'll come down to look at verse 8. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him. Be continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you are taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Permit me to go over that one more time. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Please flash verse 8. Let's flash verse 8 as well. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teaching of Christ the Messiah. Now, brothers and sisters, these are the issues that we are going to give a serious consideration to this morning as we are trusting God to help us. And this consideration that I'm dealing with, I want you to know that as we give it attention, as we come to this season, this Rehoboth, in our pursuit of the life of Christ and our pursuit of the revival that God is releasing to the nations, for it to give us an abiding and abounding and an abundant fruitfulness, it is this issue of being built up in him. Let me set this clear before I go with you. When we were praying, as Sister Shade was talking about the increasing depth of this river, the increasing depth of this river, and she said many, many revivals before, first, they did not move outside the temple, so everything finished. Now, one of the troubles is that when you want to move this river outside the temple, you move it into an environment of hostility. You move it into an environment of his enemy. You move it into a place where it must contend. It must contend with the forces of the world system. So if the people that are supposed to be the bearers of this river, if they are not deeply rooted in Christ, if they are not built up in the principles of Christ, it easily gets dissipated. So many, many things that God started But because we did not give attention to this matter, it has only left our land with erosion. It has only ended what God wanted to do as a mere caricature of it. And so God has been speaking. This meeting we are doing now, God has been speaking for many years. The reason why God said we must give ourselves to raising disciples, deepening men. Some years ago, we were in South Africa, and God began to speak to us about digging deep wells. That if we only go about making shallow trenches, if it is 2 inches or 2 feet, once the dryness increases, everything at 2 feet level will have dried up and there was nothing anymore. And God took time to talk to us about digging deep for the coming revival. And so that we have come to this point in God's determinate counsel, and I'm so grateful to God that God himself is committed to what we are doing now. It is God that has brought us to this, but God himself is demanding that for us not to perish this morning, for it not to dissipate into nothingness, for it not to become an empty slogan, we need to give attention unto ourselves being built up in Christ Jesus. So that when we go into the sea, rather than the sea swallowing us up, we are able to bring healing to the world system. When we go to a different profession, we are able to bring all the issues in the world to the perspective of Christ, and give them solution to what they have been looking for. When we flow into research, when we flow into academics, we must raise men that are well built up in Christ Jesus, that they can take on all the issues, all the questions, all the challenges that the world system is struggling with, and resolve it, create a resolution of it along the lines of Christ's worldview. But we can't have all such men if they are shallow, if they are not built up in Christ. So this burden that we are sharing this morning is such a heavy matter and it's urgent. And we need to apply ourselves to it if what we are trusting God to do will be an enduring revival. Now let me begin by picking some of the words that are very critical there. Rooted and built up in him. So, but because we have dealt with the word of roots, and we have dealt with rooted throughout yesterday, so I'm not going back to that now. I'm dealing with now the word built up in him. Built up in him. The phrase built up, if you look at it very well, indicates deliberateness. It indicates cumulativeness. It indicates progressiveness. It indicates purposefulness as against spuriousness, as against chance. To be built up in him requires deliberateness. It requires cumulativeness and continuity. It requires progressiveness. It requires purposefulness. It will not happen by chance. You won't be built up by chance. You could have many, many single building blocks scattered all over the place, but it never will become a building until they are deliberately built together. There may be many things that you have got that look like spiritual building blocks in your walk with God, but they are scattered and unconnected. They are not joined together. You have so much knowledge, but it is uncoordinated knowledge. You may have even read many books, but all those books, they have only raised unconnected issues that did not build up onto anything in your life. That is not how to grow in your walk with God. So brothers, please listen now. It's not about, oh, I know this, I know that. That's not how to be built up. To be built up requires a deliberate line upon line, one on top of another, until your life in Christ Jesus is being built, is being brought to shape, and is being made fortified for you to be able to carry what God is about bringing onto our lives in Jesus' name. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, Brother Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So again, we note here that to be built up in Christ Jesus has a process which I will be looking at now. God is desiring to build your life. You are God's building, according to that 1 Corinthians that we're just referred to. Let me ask you to look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. If you have not opened your Bible, let's do it. It said, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he is building thereupon. So what it means is that to be built up in Christ Jesus, there's need for foundation, and we'll be talking about that now. There'll be need for carefulness in building it. There'll be need for how it is to be built up. One stone must be put on top of another, and one experience on top of another experience. That is how to be built up. There must be one instruction on top of another instruction. Precept upon precept, line upon line. It must not be an unfocused, uncoordinated, scattered, unrelated, and unconnected instructions if your life is to be built up in Christ Jesus. Permit me to take note of that again. Many of you are in different things. You go for this meeting, you go for that fellowship, you go to this man, you listen to that man, you listen to that man. The trouble is that what builds a man's life up must not be an unfocused, an uncoordinated, scattered, unrelated, and unconnected instructions. The problem with many is that they are not consistent. You listen to this preacher who is talking to you about how to be a millionaire. So you quickly collect that and put it somewhere. Then you go to another man of God who says he is in the business of deliverance, and that God has anointed him to break every yoke. Then you quickly go there. And he says to you, this weekend, We are in the deliverance ministry of Reverend Dr. Budoza. And we shall be dealing with pulling down generational curses. And what did you do? You quickly collect whatever you offer and put it somewhere. Now there's no connection between that and the other one. You ran to collect the other time. So you see, here you are now. Pull here, pull there, pull there, pull there. Being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That itself is contrary to what Jesus Christ wants you to become. If you are going to carry this move of God, if God is going to use you, you can't be such a scattered fellow. Your life cannot be sown left and right by all kinds of things. And then sometimes, you may think, I say, yes, I've heard so much about the anointing. And you hear another preacher talking about the anointing for Joseph's generation. And so what did you do now? You quickly go there. Because there are catchy words, there are eye-sounding words that is always, you know, tinkling you. And the Bible talks about what will happen in the end time. That a lot of people who have itching ears, they will look for teachers. They will heap up teachers unto themselves who tells them what they are looking for. Now, if we do not deliberately talk about how to be built up in Christ Jesus, we will continue to have the challenge that we have had. We continue to find that there are very many Christians whom we thought are Christians who can easily embrace very strange philosophies, who are easily tossed to and fro. The other day, somebody just sent me a text and it was so painful. Someone whom we thought had been, you know, a Christian and all of that, suddenly he said he's going to go back to Islam. And what is the reason? No roots. No roots. He is tossed to and fro by every wind. And this wind of doctrine, they come even from the people that claim to be preachers. So this matter, as we begin to respond to God about the matter of this revival that God is bringing us to, it has become very, very critical. And I pray that God will intervene and help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to read Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9 and 10, just to make a quick input into what God began to say to his people, even in the Old Testament, so as to establish that when you desire to be built up in Christ, you need to be focused and you need to be settled. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 9, you shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds or diverse kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Permit me to repeat that passage again. You shall not sow your vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruits of your seed which thou, you know, has sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. It will not give you what you are looking for. Some of you think that variety, like supermarkets, is the way to build your Christian life. Some of you think that it is here, there, up and down, without any connectivity, is what makes you versatile. Scattered knowledge does not make you a versatile Christian. It only makes you a confused and a scattered non-entity, because you will never be able to bring impact on any area of life. But you know, when I read that passage, ordinarily you would think that God is just talking about agriculture. Even though it is good, you can apply it to ordinary agriculture. But I want to tell you that God is speaking beyond making a farm here. I perceive that God is focusing on the culturing of your heart. The instrument with which you plow your heart must be consistent. It must be symmetrical and compatible. Whenever builders are working, you will notice that they normally connect the next brick with the previous ones. Sometimes, a brick may be longer than the space available. So they will sit down and cut it and chop up the excesses until it fits. They use their plumb at each point to ensure the same level and the straight line and symmetry. You cannot be built up in Christ if there is no plumb line. Your line will not be straight. It will not be congruent with Christ's life if there is no standard plumb with which your life is being built. And this is very important, because we are speaking to the body of Christ. We are speaking to several of you from different nations. And I want you to know that what God wants to do now is not just localized to one place. It is Christ and Christ formed in you that God is producing all over the world. And that is why the issue we are raising here, whether you are white, whether you are black, whether you are from Asia, or whether you are from Africa, you must submit yourself to this. This is the plumb line. Christ himself is the plumb line. Every building must conform to him. Every growth must conform to him. Every teaching must be congruent with him. It must be according to Christ. Anything outside that cannot fit, and you cannot fit into where God is taking us at this point. I want to now say that builders, whether physical or spiritual, cannot work without a plumb and reference points to set their bearings. Congruence is critical in every building. If I'm going to be built up in Christ, every principle that I expose my life to must be built on top of one another. It must be congruent. It must be symmetrical. It must have interlocks for strong connectivity and must provide support so that the whole structure of my life is solid, compact, and it can stand the stress of its weight and of the external forces that must contend with it. Above all, it must be according to the design of the architect, Jesus himself. I hope you are following what I'm saying. That to be built up in Christ is not anyhow. You cannot be anyhow Christian. And I want you to know that this is not being legalistic. Christ's life is not anyhow you like it. Christ's life is not anyhow you see it. Christ's life is not anyhow you feel about it. All those people that brought that kind of thing as if it's liberty, they have only confused you. They have only tried to bring you into a situation where you cannot become anything useful in the hand of God for a long time. So if it is the life of Christ you want to live, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Do what? Hear him. Even when Moses was told to build the temple, do you remember that severally God kept saying to him, make sure that you build everything according to what? According to the pattern that I've been showing you. You can't build anything for God outside the pattern that he has shown you. Noah built the ark according to the pattern that God showed him. But I thank God that the pattern that God has given us is not a drawing, it's a person. And that person is Christ Jesus. So everything that is not fitting into Christ's life cannot be allowed in the building of your own life if you want to be built up in Christ Jesus. Anything that is not congruent with Christ's life, anything that is protruding to show off, that cannot be buried in Christ Jesus, cannot be allowed. And so if this water, this river will not be polluted, then the matter of being built in Christ is something we cannot take lightly or take for granted. I want to ask you to note something. If any preacher must attract me as a person, the question I ask myself is this. Does what he offers me, does he fit into what God is building in my life? If I spend 3 hours listening to this man, how does what he's saying fit into my building? If it does not fit, it means I do not need it. Maybe some other people may need it, but not myself. It is also not every author that I normally will read. I only read authors that are building me up in God's direction and in congruence with what God is building in my life and into my life. So all the issues that have become false doctrine in our land, is it not because there are many of you that normally go out into the bush to go and cut some wild words and come and add it in the pot that God is sitting for you, not knowing that it is death. Like in the days of Elisha, when that young man went out to cut the wild words, it looked like the original, but it is wild. And he slashed it. And I realized that when people are bringing dangerous things, they normally slice it. They slice it small, so that you will not know. But when they mix it, then it becomes death in the pot. I hope some of you have not gone eating wild guats, and it's like introduce death into the pot. May God deliver us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to now pick one more major issue that I want to look at, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 from verse 20 to 22. I will read it first from the King James, and then we will look at it from the Amplified. Ephesians 2 from verse 18. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, I want to read from verse 20, please. And you have been built. Maybe I should read from 18, no problem. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There are a few words that we are going to be analyzing in that passage, because we are looking at how will God be building our lives. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself the chief cornerstone. In him, the old structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, to grow, to increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated and consecrated and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him, in Christ Jesus, and in fellowship with one another, you yourself are also being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God by and through the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 7, it says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. Go to verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, and we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 earlier, when our brother said, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each man, each person, take it how he builds on that foundation. And finally, the book of Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So what are we saying now? It is a building. It is a building. Please, let's note. Christian life is a building. Becoming a vessel in the hand of God, there must be a building. Becoming a carrier of the presence of God, either for you as an individual, it has to be a building. And for us to be a team of people that can convey God's presence into this generation, we have to be built together into it. And a building does not happen sporadically. A building cannot start until you have a proper building plan and the architectural design for it. Nothing about the building is an afterthought. Each building is purpose-built to fit into the overall purpose of God for your life. A building may involve several builders, and I want you to note that there may be several hands that God will use to build into your life, while God uses you also to build into other lives. And it may involve several people, several builders at various points and at various stages of that building. But each one of them have to build their portion according to the design and the requirements of the architects and the civil engineers. No one can introduce his own or her own idea midstream. All the materials that will be used are also specified in terms of qualities and quantities, sizes and dimensions. The concrete must be mixed according to specifications. Pillars and columns, beams and roof members are all to be congruent with the overall design concept for the building. Every house is built by someone, But thank God, the Bible says, he who builds all things is God. We meet that in Hebrews chapter 3. Of necessity, someone must build your life. You cannot start off to build yourself by yourself. This is a very critical aspect of what I need to talk about now. And because this is very crucial in building and in being built up in Christ Jesus and for Christ's purpose, who builds you and who builds into your life is very, very important. Please bear with me as you see me emphasizing some few issues today. It's because if we don't speak into this and we don't become deliberate about this, what God is speaking to us, the great promise that God has made and has been holding out to us, we might end up making a caricature of it because we are raising men who are not being built in Christ Jesus. So for our lives, we are being built to become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God has raised Jesus as the pattern son. And he has lifted him up for us all to see and to grow into as the prototype and as the example. It is his stature and it is his standard height of personality that God is building your life into. It is for this that God has engaged all the builders, all the ministry gifts in the body of Christ. This is the only matter that God has engaged us with. In Ephesians chapter 4, please come with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Verse 11, 12, 13. Ephesians 4. I read first from my King James. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may do what? We may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ Jesus. Now, because I'm going to be coming back on this Ephesians, I would like to move on quickly so that we will deal with the very several important sections and parts of the building that must not be compromised if your own life will be built up in Christ and you will be strong to bear fruit for his glory. It will be crucial that we discuss this. At this point, let me take the first point, the foundation and the chief cornerstone. We have read Ephesians 2:20 says, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. And chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And as we read further, he said, this is the stone. Christ is that stone which was rejected by builders, but which has become the chief cornerstone. Now, is there any salvation in any other? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now finally, if the foundations, the Bible says the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's Psalm 11, isn't it? Now, let's quickly talk about what is about foundation. But while I'm describing all the issues around foundation, I want you to note that if we are planning, just like I said yesterday, the root of all that you can become is your root. And the root development, the root system you develop for your life is what determines your height. Foundation, again, is of that same dimension of understanding that we need to catch. Foundation is foundational to every building. It is the substructure that bears the stress and the strain of the superstructures. It is what determines what maximum load you can pile up on the building and what the building can eventually bear is the foundation. If you lay a foundation for a bungalow, you cannot change your mind tomorrow to now make it a three-story building, except you are going to have the kind of disaster that we're having in different parts of our country. Now, every feature, please take note now, every feature of your future, of the future that you are looking for, must have its component in the foundation. If you are anticipating anything in the future of that building, then the component of it must be located in the foundation. The foundation is akin to the root of the tree, which we discussed earlier. Whatever fault is located in the foundation of a building is a foundational fault, and it will spread all over the building. It cannot be isolated for treatment. The whole building will have to be brought down to attend to the crack in the foundation. So the foundation you lay for your life is what determines how tall, how versatile, how wide you can become in serving God. Your future is actually already regulated, regimented, restricted, and reduced to the strength, the size, and the depth of your foundation. So we cannot be hoping that we are going to look for people that will move this revival and it will enter the sea and it will heal the sea and the sea will not swallow it. If we are not laying foundation for such kind of person, and sometimes we are rushing, we want some people to go into politics, to go and do what? When there is no foundation laid in their lives, the foundation that they carry cannot withstand it. When somebody flips some few millions before their eyes, they would close their Bible and say, let's just discuss about that later. What is the reason? The foundation they have can survive as a Sunday school teacher inside the church. That foundation cannot survive in the House of Senate. Because what he carries cannot stand in the midst of his enemies. He can't stand in the midst of wolves. He can be talking ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta in the midst of Sunday school students. He will look like a champion. Take him to where he needed a stronger foundation, he will collapse like banana. And they have brought disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ because we are asking them to carry a load for which they have no foundation. Brothers and sisters, the foundation you lay for your life now is what will actually regulate, it regiments, it restricts, it reduces the extent to which you can go in life. any feature of your future that did not feature in your foundation will be vague. It will be hanging and dangling. It will be baseless and dangerous to the entire structure. So what are the challenges that we have to quickly deal with in the matter of how do we build by laying a strong foundation? The first challenge is that foundation with time becomes invisible. What does that imply? If a foundation with time becomes invisible, it means then that it faults, it cracks, it's very difficult to discover unless you are willing to dig around it and evacuate much soil. Foundational faults are generally imperceptible until it has assumed a very dangerous dimension. If the foundation to your faith, if your foundation, now that some of you are just giving your life to Christ, if we don't lay a clear and a correct foundation, and you are growing with a foundational crack, it becomes a foundational problem for the rest of your years. Sometimes, some of us, the foundational doctrine that they put in our lives already made you to believe that you can never be victorious over sin. So you see, somebody is growing but with a faulty understanding that all of us, we can only but keep sinning. It's only when we get to heaven that we'll be all right. You say, where did you find that in the Bible? He said, well, that's what our pastors used to tell us. Foundational faults, they produce foundational problems. And because sometimes it's so difficult to discover, you won't know that that is the matter. Some of you, the foundation doctrine you have for your marriage is what is making your marriage not to work. Some of you, as you are growing up, they taught you that women, they are not to be trusted. So no matter what you are talking, something tells you that, is he not a woman? Is your wife not a woman? You can't trust a woman who. So you find yourself, your husband, you are in church, but there are things in you that your wife does not know because your foundation, your foundational doctrine says a woman should not be trusted. And no matter what people are building on top of your life, they are building on that wrong foundation. That's why up till now, your wife does not know what you are earning. There are issues that you say, no, we don't trust women with this kind of knowledge. And when you want to speak, you say, madam, please excuse us, we are saying something serious. Now, how will you become a kind of vessel in the hand of God? How will your home become a platform for revival when the foundation you lay even for your marriage is already faulty? This is why we have to look at it. We have to be checking, what foundation have you laid for your Christian life? What foundation have you laid for your marriage? What foundation have you laid for ministry? What foundation have you laid? It has become invisible now. We can't see it. And so we find a lot of issues that a believer is struggling with because he has a foundational fault. Foundation with time becomes inaccessible. You cannot access it freely as it is already the foundation on which the whole building is standing and bearing their weight. To touch it is to impair all the load that it carries. It must be properly laid once and for all. Otherwise, any damage on it spells colossal loss. So if in being built up in Christ Jesus, we are not meticulous in making sure that that foundation is properly laid in Christ Jesus, laid according to the principle of Christ, laid according to the standard that Christ himself had laid for us. If we're just following people, charlatans, who just tell you anything, the trouble is that you are planning for a colossal loss. Things will collapse and it will be difficult to deal with it. Foundation, the third challenge is that foundation with time becomes irreparable. Since you cannot have access to it freely, and the fault is foundational to every other problem you will have, and it is difficult to suspend life without further drawing from it, the only thing possible could have been a difficult and very costly process, which they call underpinning, for which a physical building may be possibly, you know, may be possible with a lot of stress and destruction, but impossible when it is with a life. Architects and engineers who try underpinning is a physical building. But how can we suspend your life in order to repair your foundation, except to start afresh? That's the only way, is to begin again and start life all over again. But it is practically impossible for you to have, for us to do that. For you have only one life to live, and time does not wind back for anyone. If you are 50 years now, we can't wind you back to 30 years. We can only take you where we have met you. And if we have to now go and dig out all the foundation that you mislaid, how does it happen? How do we get at it? So, my dear brothers and sisters, the critical need to be laid on a foundation that is Christ Himself, chief cornerstone, is critical at this time. Foundation, once engaged, is irretrievable. Once you engage a foundation, it is irretrievable. You can't retrieve it back. Even if you want to, you can't do so without losing the ground on which it was laid. You can't retrieve it without losing the whole building and structure on it. All the furnishings, all the furniture, all the finishing you have put are wasted once the foundation is to be retrieved. So you can only increase the pits to dig our foundations, which renders even the soil, again, useless. Because if the soil is not solid, where do you lay your foundation? So this is a critical matter that requires that when you want to be built up in Christ Jesus, let me ask you, what's your foundation? What's your foundation? On what foundation are you building your life now? Is Christ the chief cornerstone? Is Christ there? Are you building on Christ and Him alone? We said foundation grows to become permanent and irreplaceable. I know God will give you understanding about that. It has become your recurring challenge with recurring problems because it's the foundation. It's difficult to replace it. If it is possible for you to recover years wasted and scars on your destiny, we'll have said, okay. But these are the troubles that a life cannot be reversed. Foundation with time must be buried to avoid erosion. Just as I said yesterday, your roots have to be covered. Foundation also has to be buried. But the trouble now is that if we now have to bury a faulty foundation, how do we handle it when it has become something that nobody can see as to be able to help you? So the first matter to attend to very deliberately is the foundation for your life in Christ. And it's actually the foundation for all you hope to become in life and in eternity. No amount of time can be too much to invest in laying a solid foundation for the future that you hope for. The foundation for your matrimony is this foundation. It bears the foundation for your victory and for your ministry. This foundation must be Christ and Him crucified as the chief cornerstone. It must be at the base of all your convictions and of your faith He must be the author. He must be the founder. He must be the maker and the finisher of your faith. Every feature of your future must be founded upon Christ and his principles. You must base all your building blocks on him as the foundation. He is the upholding and continuous principle that holds all the scheme of creation together. And if separated from him, you are heading for a total collapse. No other foundation can anyone lay apart from this, which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. So, when the Bible says we must be built up in him, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets become the next layer. They have walked with the Lord. They have proved his principles firsthand. And God has inspired them to lay a solid foundation for the church and for any of its members. So whatever we build, and we did not see Christ Jesus and the disciples or the apostles and prophets practice, it should not be part of your foundation. So the first thing I will be demanding from you as you listen is to check, is there anything you are practicing that Christ never did? Is there anything you are practicing that you cannot trace to any of the apostles of Christ practicing it in the scripture as it is written down for us? No matter who the preacher that you are following as is doing it, I want to counsel you in the name of Jesus, go and uproot it and relay that foundation before it is too late. Whatever we did not see in Christ, it may be what human excitement has brought. It may be psychological motivation and new ideas that people are using to build your life. It can only become an inherent weakness in your building. So, what do I now need to deal with? Buildings and builders. Builders and building materials. In being built up in Christ, I said earlier that God raises builders and laborers whom he has appointed to build you up for his divine purpose for your life. And you can see it all through the word of God. Every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is Christ. So we cannot run away from the fact that our lives will be built by people. There will be pastors, there will be teachers, there will be evangelists, there will be all these ministry gifts that God himself is the one who gave them for the building up of the body of Christ. Every house is built by someone. No house can build itself by itself. Bricks do not build themselves into a building. Someone must lay the bricks. Someone must apply the mortar. And someone must keep the plumb to maintain the levels according to the master plan. But the way a builder builds will affect and will reflect on what is being built. And the materials he uses will affect the strength of that building. This is a very crucial matter for prayerful consideration. Who is building your life? Who is building your life? And who is building on your life? This is taking us back to discipleship. If the man who is building your life himself is not in touch with the Lord and is not congruent with his life, he may only be building according to his own tastes and according to the ambition and the imagination of his own heart. May be building you for his own ambition as if you belong to him. I want to ask you now. You see, whenever I read the scripture and said, whatever any man builds shall be tested by fire. And if he burns, he will be saved as though he passes through fire. My own question is, but what of what he has built? And if what he has built is my life, and my life has been destroyed, when the test of fire came on it, what becomes of my own destiny? That is why I want to counsel you. You can't just leave your life in the hand of any kind of person. who is using any kind of useless material to pour into your life. It is your life that is being built. Stop listening to people that come with cheap ideas. Things that only tickle your emotions and doesn't deal with the depth of your inner life. You need to be careful about that. Even though each builder will give account of what he built and how he built it, but it is your own life that is involved. So your life, you cannot be complacent about who builds you. You can't be complacent about where you are taking your building from. You must grow up in congruence with the life of Christ and his pattern. You must be like the Berean Christians who search the scriptures diligently to see if those things Paul taught were correct. We are coming to that point now where we need to be deliberate. That whosoever stands up to speak and is not speaking according to this principle, Paul said, let him be accursed. Why will Paul become so serious? If anybody comes to you and does not come with this doctrine, let that man be accursed. Even if I myself shall return, or an angel comes to tell you something else, let me be accursed. That's to show you that the question of being built up in Christ Jesus transcends and goes beyond personality. It goes beyond personality cult. What we are pointing you to now goes beyond, well, that's our own. That's the way my denomination do it. No, it's your life that is being built. We are talking about your eternal destiny, and there is need for you to be like Berean Christians. Check it out. If the materials used to build your life is the clay, the air, the stubble, the wood, rather than the gold, the precious stones, the silver, and the enduring elements for life formation, you may appear to be growing fast only because cheap materials were used. And you may not be one who bears an enduring experience of God. And you cannot be used for an enduring work in God's kingdom. You may also not have such a weight to bear an enduring anointing. Can I put to you, this issue, even if I can't finish what I'm raising here, I want to leave it with you. That your life, if it is not being built up in Christ Jesus, then you are not being well. Then you are not preparing to endure with this robot that God is bringing us into. Now, let's quickly look at issues about the process of building. And that, I will spend a bit of time in it. And I go back again to Ephesians 2, 20, 21, 22 that we read before. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously. And it continues to rise, it continues to grow, it continues to increase into a holy temple in the Lord. It's a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him and in fellowship with one another, you yourself are also being built up into this structure with the rest of us to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's now look at what are the issues. The first word that you see again and again as I've been talking about being built is the word in him. In him. Even though time is very short for me, but these are issues I want you to look at now. In him. The context, the habitat, the building site for our lives to be correctly built must be in him. Are you with me? The context, the habitat, the building site for our lives to be correctly built must be in Christ. All the materials for our lives to be built are sought and supplied in Him. Nothing outside Christ is useful in building your life. There are many philosophies, many theories, and ideas that men seek to use to build their lives, but not from Christ's life and from Christ's principles. It may be high sounding and may look elaborate, but it is all based on human tradition. Such cannot build you up in your most holy faith. It cannot make you a pillar in the house of God. Indeed, it will defraud you. And this is what we read in that verse 8. He said, see to it that no one carries you up as spoil or makes you yourself, you know, captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism. Vain deceit, idle fancies, plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Crude notions. Following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ. They may sound very high, very impressive, but it is empty and vague. It can only make you a man of the earth and not a man come from God. It is hollow philosophy and empty psychology that men of the world have propounded over the years that has left the world system restless. It is only in Him, in Christ Jesus, we must be built. It is in Him that every material comes from, and in Him is every binding force to be generated. Anything outside Christ will only introduce weakness, an inferiority, or an inferior component into your life. Now, if I move into that, I want to say that to be built up in Christ, just like I said yesterday, that you can grow your root in Christ, there is no space. There's nothing that will stop your root from reaching the depth. Also, to be built up in Christ, there is enough space, enough room on all sides. And everything that you need to be complete in Christ is actually in Christ Jesus. Sometimes some of us think that, well, there are other things we need to know that is not in Christ. And imagine some of you are feeling that, well, all these things that we are talking about, is it only in Christ? Let me go and read the Kamas. Let me go and read this one. Let me go and read the traditional religion. Let me go and read all of that. And that's how you stop your life with empty ideas. And you stop out Christ. I have so many people today who are even theologians. They don't know enough of Christ. But they know so much about other philosophies, other social theories, other religions, and that's what they stop themselves with. So they come to the pulpit only talking general things that has no reality of Christ. We cannot use such persons to spearhead the coming revival. Your life has to be built up in Christ. It is in Christ that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. It is in Christ Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And every completion is in Christ Jesus. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. There is no height you anticipate for your growth that cannot be accommodated in Christ Jesus. His love is wide that you cannot cross it. It is so deep that you cannot get to the very bottom of it. And it is so high that you cannot reach its roof. In Him we live. In Him we walk. In Him we have our whole being. Everything you will ever need is in Him. And all that will ever be necessary for your growth from now till eternity are all embedded in Christ Jesus. This is very crucial for you to settle down, to be built up in Him. Take a study of all that God has made available for us in Him, and you will be amazed with the all, every that is used in almost all the references. Just search, just take your Bible and say, in Him, then you will see all that the Word of God said about in Him. Now, in Him, the whole structure is joined, bounded, welded together harmoniously. It is in Christ Jesus that our lives are banded together. It is not here and there, liters here and liters there. In Christ, there is a wholesomeness. The whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously to make it compact, an unbroken entity. When your life is being built in Christ Jesus, you will find wholeness. You'll find completeness. You'll find compactness at every level and in everything. There are no loose ends and scattered joints here and there. Everything is made to fit together harmoniously and symmetrically. It is forming into a glorious shape in Christ's life being formed in you. It is also in Christ Jesus that this building continues to rise, to grow, to increase into a usable vessel. Though an earthen jar of clay to bear the treasure of His life within us, we actually have this treasure in that earthen vessel, so that the excellency of the power emanating and the aroma that is oozing out of our life is not of us, but of Him who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, let me note again that it is in Christ Jesus and in fellowship with other believers that you yourself are to be built up. The beauty and glory of this is that you are not only being built up in Christ as a single individual, you are also being built into the body of Christ horizontally. Now, you see, when we are not understanding the process of this building, you are likely to think you are a super Christian who can move alone. And that is one of the reasons why this individualistic ministry, something, something ministries, somebody, somebody's ministries seem to be attractive, because Mr. Flesh, that ought to have been dead and buried in this building, was allowed because individualism was overemphasized. You must be connected with other believers in fellowship who share the same life with you in Him, and thus being built into a compact structure to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place for our Lord to operate from. It is in this context that you can exercise a ministry. I'm again needing to share with you that ministry for this end time, ministry for this revival, must be exercised in the context of oneness in the body of Christ. We are not building you to be one superstar somewhere. That's not the plan of God for His church. We are not building you to be the only man of God in town. God's intention is to build a team, to build His body, so that where I cannot operate, this brother has been built along with me, that sister has been built along with me. So we provide an holistic ministry that is coming through the joint supply of every member. Brethren, if this revival God is talking to us about will last, we must again deliberately build into one another. As we are being built up in Christ Jesus, we are being built up into the body of Christ. That's why in all your discipleship, take note, even though we are talking about taking note of your personal discipleship, because you need to have your roots, you need to have your focus, yet this discipleship does not build you into an island. This discipleship experience does not isolate you and does not make you to belong to one individual discipler who said, that's my boy, that's my disciple. No. He makes a contribution to build your life and build you into the body of Christ. If the mind is beginning to possess you that you could not fellowship and flow with the rest of the brethren horizontally, he is misbuilding you. And he will soon build you out of the move of God. He will soon build you out of focus. And you will be out of symmetry with what God needs to do. This building has to be congruent with the body of Christ. Now, the next thing I need to talk about that building is that you yourself, as you are growing up, the Holy Ghost that has come now to fill your life is also building you up in your most holy faith. Now, these are very critical issues of being built. Finally, before I will be able to stop, this builder, if you look at verse 7 of Colossians 2, says being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Just as we said, the root of a tree continually grows down, so must you be continually built up in Christ Jesus. So this being built up does not stop. The reason is because the stature we are going is the standard height of Christ's personality, his wisdom, his communion, his intimacy with the Father, his way of handling the things of God, his way of handling the word of God, his way of handling ministry. No matter how much we have grown, there's still a room on top that you are yet to come into. And what I'm hearing Jesus saying all the time to me, say, come up here, come up here, come up here, Billy, come up here. And I realize that actually when I look at the headroom between where he is and where I am, I'm still looking like a dwarf. When I look at the volume of what I have not yet known of Jesus, I'm asking myself, what have I known actually? When I see the infiniteness of his glory and power, into which I must be transformed from one degree of glory to another, I could not sit down and say, I'm already built up. But the truth of the matter is that this building must continue as long as you are alive. So being built up in Christ is the determinant matrix for a progressive and a fruitful walk with God. It takes some years to build a prayer life. A prayer life that is trustworthy has to be built. There is no miracle that will make the word of God to open to you overnight. A progressive revelation to the word of God has to be built. Your personal altars have to be built. To be able to take a scripture and teach God's people from the same scripture for days, rightly dividing the word of truth, does not happen overnight. It is a building. It would be a deception to say, if I lay my hands on you now and I pray for you, the spirit of revelation will just fall on you like that. That is not true. If I want to help you at all, it is to take you in and show you the process and launch you into it, and you also continue to grow in it. Christian life is a building. Christian spirituality is a building. A consecrated prayer life is a building. Understanding God's word and being able to rightly divide it, I say it's a building. So what do I say to you? Settle down and be built. The Bible says every house is built by someone, but God is the one who builds all things. God raises builders to build people up. He will raise builders to build you up in the name of Jesus Christ. There may be building blocks that should be laid in your life, one block on top of another. The builder God raises for you may give you one lesson to go through here and say, when you finish, come let me review it. That is the essence of relating with someone who is deliberate, who wants to progress with you in life. That's why your discipleship under someone who is concerned for your growth is very important. Life is a building. You have to be built. Correct fellowship and relationship with people have to be built. Trust has to be built. And the process of building is a painstaking process that the Holy Spirit himself supervises for those who are saying, here am I, Lord, build me. Yes, God has declared a Rehoboth unto you, and he has given us room to be fruitful in the land. You know that no seed will reproduce itself unless it falls down and dies, shooting down its root and growing up unto maturity. This is the crucial process we cannot ignore, even in this season of our visitation. Now that God has made room for us, I want to say it is a room to grow your roots. It's a room to get built up in him. It's a room that will make you fruitful. It's a room to shoot for life branches. It's a room for us to bear fruit upward, fruit that abides. Fruitfulness is only a result of these parameters I've dealt with. Fruit, abiding, abounding, and abundant fruit will attend to your life if you will pay attention to these issues of deepening your roots in him and being built up in him. As I stop at this, I want you to join me to pray. I've taken quite a little time out of our space, but permit me to ask you to take note that two issues that God is saying we must not ignore as we're waiting to engage Rehoboth. We must pray, we must ask God to bring it to us, to fulfill what he says. He's the one that wants to walk. He said, and I'm asking you to ask me for it. And I felt overwhelmed this morning that that is what we must do. But while I was about to rush into that and say, no, that's where we're going to stop, the Holy Spirit again brought me a counsel and said, yes, while that is going on, where are the containers that will bear the rain? Where are the containers? When the woman was asked to go and borrow vessels, it was to borrow not a few. But if she just gathered some little number of test tubes, that would be the end of the outpouring. That's why we need people who are deeply rooted, who are growing in dimensions, who have been built up in Christ so that they can carry the capacity to bear this oil everywhere. Will you, as a matter of urgency, will you, as a matter of deliberate urgency, say, Lord, Rehoboth is here. My life has to be built for it. I know that there are some of you in your centers that did something that is very interesting, and I will use that to end. Some of you suddenly discover that you need to have an MLR center. And you discover that all the spaces you had before was not sufficient. And the places you thought you are going to use is not available. What did you begin to do now? I saw you building. I saw several of you rushing to lay foundation and to get things up and to set up your tent and all of that, because you were anticipating an outburst. If you do that for a physical meeting of 3 days, why will you not do that for an enduring move of God that will reach nations, that will shake your land, that will shake your people, that will shake your environment, that will bring the glory of God down? If you have been involved in discipleship, don't you see now that this has become more urgent? It has now become urgent to raise people. You know, as I'm just standing here, my heart is just overwhelmed. Can you imagine that as we're sitting here, Bible study is going on everywhere. There are several brothers and sisters that are standing up now to teach the Bible studies. And they are facing different congregations. And I'm saying, Lord, have they been built for this assignment? they going to give the people beyond what they carry? If we don't build this man for God, are we not planning to perish this month? So wherever you are, it becomes urgent. But I thank God that God himself is willing to help us. He's willing to accelerate our growth. He said, I, the Lord, I will hasten it in his time. One of the things God is going to hasten is our growth. He will hasten our being built up. If it took you 10 years to lay this faulty foundation, God wants to change that now. Hunger will come on your heart. Hunger will come on your heart. I was praying with my wife the other day. I said, God, give me seeds. Improve seeds that produces better yield. You know, sometimes you get seed that just produce tiny, tiny things and you waste all your life. But God promised that he's giving us seed that will produce results. Even this message that you are hearing, God is going to multiply it. God is going to give you an understanding of it beyond what I could explain. You can see that time is not for us, and yet I'm trusting God that something will happen to you. So I want to pray with you this morning. And I want you to stand with me in prayer. I'll just pray for you that God will make it a compelling issue for you. That your being built up will become a priority. Your being rooted will become your priority. And that God himself, who said all our children shall be righteous, he will make this possible in your lives in the name of Jesus. Will you please rise and let's pray together. Please rise up wherever you are. Let's pray together. I just want to call on God. Whatever else you want to decide, whatever things you want to do, this prayer will overlay it. God is going to do it. Father in heaven, we stand together wherever your children are. In different parts, in different places, in different time zones, wherever they are. Because they have identified with this move. Because their heart have been drawn. Because they want to be part of your Rehoboth. Lord, visit us now. Visit us with an hunger for you. An hunger that will cause our roots to shoot down to the everlasting bed of the river of life. That will cause, you said, this tree, this river on both sides, there will be all manner of trees that grow, who are producing their fruit every month. Lord, that will be a miracle. It will be a miracle, Lord. What you did in the Acts of Apostles, that one message affected thousands, and they sat at the apostles' doctrine to such a point that they multiplied so quickly, let it be done again. Lord, we beg you, let it be done again. Let the understanding of my brothers and sisters, those in the village, those in the language groups, those in any situation, let something happen to them now. Let there be a growth, a building up in Christ Jesus. Let them experience something from your hand which is beyond human explanation. Lord, give us an increase of disciples, increase of Christ in our heart, increase of his word in our spirit, increase of his life. Let it happen, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every retarded growth, every stagnated growth, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Everything that makes growth sluggish, let it be uprooted now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as your children will go from here into Bible studies, open their understanding. Open their hearts. Lord, all our discipleship classes all over the world, let it have this dimension. Let things begin to happen deeply. What we spend years to explain, Lord, take it from us and begin to cause your children to see beyond the ordinary. Do it for us, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you because beyond what we can think or imagine, you will do for us. the spirit of prayer you are releasing this morning, it will become a permanent matter. We will pray. We will pray. We will devote ourselves to praying. We will ask you for this matter. Our nations are in danger if they don't kill the son. But you have brought us to this. Lord, we are praying, oh God, that we will not see the destruction of this land before we see revival. Let there be revival. Let it reach the nations. Let it reach our people. Lord, confront those that are leaders and governments and cause them to come on their knees. Thank you, Father. And God, this thing is going to happen faster than we thought. So, Lord, we are pleading that our growth must not be slow. Please, Lord, grant that as a result of this meeting, that disciples will multiply. Disciples indeed will multiply. Hunger for God that will make them to search scriptures and quickly begin to apply to their lives. Let it happen. Thank you. Unto you is able to do much more than we can imagine or think. Do I commit your children? I commit this move to your hand that it will not go the way of the earth. It will grow in depth. As it grows wider, it will grow deeper. As it grows wider, it will grow purer. Purity will attend to this. Every false doctrine, we outlaw it in the name of Jesus. Every wind of doctrine, every maneuver of human beings, every philosophy that is contrary to your word, we make it impossible to thrive in this move in the name of Jesus. Nobody will corner this onto something that is esoteric. Lord, I ask this day that you will be jealous over your move. Be jealous from nation to nation. Thank you for hearing. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. We want to again appreciate the Lord for the help he has brought us again through his word.